All right, now let's talk about what everybody's big fear is. Handling response. When those people call you, and they will, and a lot of them will, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. First of all, who's going to answer your phone? You? Office worker? Answer machine? Or answering service? One of those four. Steve? That's right. And that's what I think. I think the reason that I still have phones come directly to my cell phone is because I know I'm the best negotiator in my company, and I want them talking to me. And my sister's the second best, and when I'm not in the area, they go to her. So those calls come. An office worker, they can take pertinent information and then call you right away. It's better than them calling and getting an answer machine, which they're not going to leave a message for. That's the big thing with answer machines. People don't like leaving messages. They get all panicky. They hear that tone and they just freeze up. You probably lose 50% of your calls if you have an answer machine, at least. An answering service, if you don't have another office worker doing it, or if you've got a full-time job during the day, then you consider an answering service. Here's some problems with answering services. Number one, they let it ring too many times. And the people won't stay on the line. They'll just hang up and call the next number. They put you on hold too long. That drives me crazy. Anybody like to be put on hold? Not me. 30 seconds and I'm off. And you need to call and verify and see how they're handling your clients. Are they being nice? Are they being courteous? Are they bringing them down the seller's script in a polite way? Or, you know, are they just trying to get the information and get off the line? Because that's going to reflect you and your business. There are key questions to ask. Let's do a little role playing. Can I see the mic? All right, Pete, you're going to be a buyer. You're going to be a seller. All right, you call. You're going to call to me. I'm going to be asking you three specific questions, but there's a fourth one I sometimes ask. All right, so the phone rings. I pick it up. I say, Results Home Buyers, Dave Lindahl speaking. Can I help you?
Yeah, hi, Dave. My name's Pete. I'm thinking about selling my home.
You are? Great. When are you looking to close?
As soon as possible.
As soon as possible. Excellent. Where are you moving to?
I'm moving out of state. I got a job in California.
Oh, terrific. In California. That's great. Hey, Pete, how much do you think your house is worth? How much are you asking for it?
About $350.
$350?
Yeah.
How did you determine that?
Well, I looked around in the area and did comps. People in the area.
You think houses like that are selling for that amount of money?
Yeah, about that.
So if I hear you correctly, Pete, you're telling me that you're looking to get market value for your property?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Pete, if you're looking to get market value for your property, then you're probably better off going to a realtor. Because I'm an investor and I need to make a profit, and I'm probably going to offer you below market value so I can resell it and make some money. And that makes sense to you, doesn't it?
Okay, yeah, I see.
All right, you know, yeah. I know a good company. They're called PHP Realty. You might want to give them a call. They got a good agent over there.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Now, somebody be a motivated seller, because that's the two questions. Did you notice? As soon as I realized he wanted market value, I'm off that call. Okay? So, Raina. Uh-oh, a volunteer. Volunteers scare me. Go ahead. Ring. Dave Lindahl, Results Home Buyers. Can I help you?
Hi. Do you buy houses that... recently had fires.
I do. What kind of fire did you have? Yours have?
I think it was this. We had a bad stove.
Did you already get the insurance money?
No, it's still pending.
How much work does it need?
Half the house is gone.
Half the house is gone.
This happened this morning on my way here. I saw a house lit up.
So how much are you asking for your half a house?
Well, the insurance company says it's worth, the market value was $275.
That's when it was a house. Now that it's half a house, it's probably, the property's only worth the land value. So what do you think the land value is worth? Because, you know, it's probably going to cost me $15,000 or $20,000 to tear that house down.
I think it's only on about an eighth of an acre.
So let's say, for instance, it's worth $100,000. So if I had to tear down that house, that would be $80,000. Would $80,000 be sound like a fair price to you?
Well, we had a little bit more than that.
All right, well, she's going to take me on a long road. But you see what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to pin her down, okay? I'm trying to get a price. The four questions you want to ask is, how soon do you want to close? I want to know. How soon do they get a guy out of there? If they don't have to close at any particular time, then I really don't want to, they've got too much time for me to handle. So I'm not sure if that's a deal. So I got to ask the other question. How much is your house worth? And how did you determine that? That's the big thing. Well, just like Pete said, well, I did some comps and that's what they're selling for in my area. All right, that tells me that he may be looking for market value. I'll tell you, that's another good question when they say, well, I don't know, that's why I called you. If they say, oh, I don't know, that's why I called you, your response to that is, well, if you don't know, I don't know, and it's okay if you don't know, because you always give people permission not to know. But if you did know, how much would your house be worth? It sounds funny, but it's a really good response. People will pause and they usually give you an answer after that. So they say, oh, I don't know. I say, I know you don't know, but if you did know, how much would your house be worth? Okay? It works. The other thing is they still don't know for some reason. I really don't know. That's why I'm calling you. Well, you know, I'm in the business to buy houses. You called me because you wanted to sell. I don't necessarily want to buy yours, but I need to know if we're going to be in the ballpark, so I really need you to give me a figure before I'm going to come out and see your property. That makes sense to you, doesn't it? Justify it. Okay? Get them to name the price. Now, if they still won't name the price, say, hey, how much are houses like yours selling for in your neighborhood? Then you get inside their head. You know what I mean? What are they selling for in your neighborhood? They still won't give you the price. Say, hey, let me ask you a question. How much do you own in the property? $60,000. Then start asking them some more questions. How long have you lived in the property? What does it look like? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, how much money do you want to walk away with on your house? See what I just did? I got how much they owe and how much they want to walk away with. If they owe 80, they want to walk away with 60. They want 140 for the house. All right? Three different methods for trying to get that price out of them. You want to get the price out of them before you get there. And remember this, he who names price first loses. Okay? I just pretended on the 80,000. Yeah. That was just a makeup number. So, the four things you want to know. You want to know how soon they want to close. You want to know how much they think their house is worth. Then you ask them, another question I'll ask them is, how much money do you owe on the property? $80,000. Will you sell it to me for what it's worth, for what you owe on it? Good question. That tells you whether or not you can take it subject to or not. You know what I mean? Will you sell it to me for what you owe on it? What the heck's my fourth question that I always ask? And I'm drawing a blank on. Oh, yeah, the one question I drew a blank on is the one that I always, always ask. If I was to offer you all cash and close quickly, what's the least amount of money you could accept for your property? And I know a lot of you know that question in the room, but I always ask that question. And then, of course, what's the answer? What's the next response after that? Is that the best you can do? Sometimes they'll hit you with a price and you go, whoa, and you won't even remember to say, is that the best you can do? There'll be potty going off in your brain, you know, and you're trying to keep control of yourself.
And that pregnant pause when you've asked that question, if I could pay you all cash and close quickly, that yep. pause is a beautiful thing, but it's very difficult to endure it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, first. The silence?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's silence. I'll tell you, I was at a house the other night, and she says to me, we're sitting there. I'd already talked to her on the phone. She was a motivated seller. I said, now, how much are you looking for on the property? She didn't give me a price before I went out, but she had given me other strong indications that she was a motivated seller. Number one, that her heat had just recently been turned off, and her phone was turned off. And she had called me from some other place. So I knew she had to sell the house, figured she was probably behind on the mortgage. I said, how much do you think you want to sell the property for? And she said, she says, I don't know. She says, well, how much do you want to buy it for? And I said, I'm not sure because I haven't done an analysis of this particular house in this area, but I would like to get an idea of what you'd be looking to sell for. And she said, I really don't know. Do you have any idea what you might want to buy it for? I said, no. I says, I said, but I think you can probably come up with a figure that you want to sell it to me for. And then there was like silence for a long time. We were just sitting there, and I was sitting there like this. That's it. I was just looking straight ahead. She was sitting, she was like looking all around. Her mother was over there. She goes, I don't know, Ma, how much, you know, do you want to sell the house for? She says, I don't know. Tell him what he wants to pay. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I says, I need to know if we're in the ballpark and know whether I should even come back here or not. So I need a figure from you right now. What's your figure? And I was like really quick. And she said, well, $100,000 wouldn't be bad. $100,000 was about $20,000 less than I was planning on paying for it. I said, okay. I said, I'm not sure if I can pay that much. Let me go back and do a market analysis and I'll come back. And I did, and we came back, and we started negotiating at $87,000. I gave her three different offers. I gave her an all-cash offer. I gave her a split-funded offer. Split-funded being I offered $10,000 to leave, and then the rest of the money when I sold the property 6 months from now, and then 100% financing offer. She wanted all cash. She didn't want anything to do with any type of second mortgage. And so we went from $87,000 to $100,000. She was stuck on the $100,000. I was, like I said, I was willing to pay more. I get us in about the $94,000 range, and I started like to put up a stand because if you negotiate too quickly, they figure that you would have paid more. So I was like kind of stuck on 94. And she said, you know, is there anything that we can do to the property before we leave that we could get the $100,000 from you? And the property is full of like three layers of wallpaper. I said, well, you know, I said, if you could take down all the wallpaper in the place when you left, that would probably do it. I'd pay $100,000. Now remember, it's $20,000 less than I was willing to, that I was wanted to pay. She said, all right, we'll take down the wallpaper. I said, all right, we got a deal. So we put it together. So that's what you want to do, the four questions. When do you want to move? How much is your house worth? If I was to offer you all cash and close quickly, what's the least amount that you could spend? And will you sell it to me for what you owe?
Why is the person that makes the offer first lose?
Why does the person that makes the offer first lose? Well, just in the experience that I just told you about, I was ready to pay $120,000 for the house. She was ready to pay $100,000, and she only wanted $100,000, and that would have made her happy. Now, what if I come out and said, "Well, you know, it's probably worth around $110,000"? I just lost $10,000, you know. Another example: a woman that called me on the phone. She says, "I want to sell my house." I said, "How much?" She said, $124,900. I said, "How do you know it's worth that?" She told me she had to work move in 2 months. She wanted to move in 2 weeks. I said, why do you think it's worth that? She said, because I had it under agreement twice, but I couldn't get it sold because she had a problem with her son, and her son wouldn't let the inspectors in. So I get to the property, and before I get there, she said, but I'll take $100,000. And I knew the area, and I knew the house was probably worth $120,000 if it didn't have any damage to it. And I asked her what type of damage. She said there was minor repairs in the bathroom and some flaking wallpaper. So I get to the house. I said, ma'am, if I was off you all cash and close quickly, what's the least amount you could accept? She dropped down to 80. The house was, I could have paid easily 100. I probably could have paid 120, still made money on it. So that's why you never want to name price first, because it always may be higher than they would willing to accept, the lower amount that they were willing to accept. All right, so let's do this. Actually, we're going to role play with each other, but before I want to do that, I want to show you a couple of seller scripts. This is a seller script that I have when I first started. And I used to keep this handy. I used to keep it on a desk, and I used to keep it folded up in my pocket and my wallet because I was nervous about getting into it, and I wasn't sure what I was going to say to the sellers. So I just followed it right down. It's like basically, you know, good morning. Dave Lindor, Results Home Buyers. Yeah. I always ask them, you know, where'd you hear from? How'd you get my number? You know, where are you calling me from? If they tell me they're calling me from a telephone pole, I immediately tell them that we're members of the Better Business Bureau because I want to justify and let them know that we are a legitimate company. You know, because people are nervous when they're calling signs on telephone poles. Or newspaper, I want to know the source of the call because I want to know what part of my marketing is working. I always say, oh, by the way, my name's Dave, what's yours? That puts their guard down and I get them to give me their name. So I get their name, I give them the address they're talking about, their home phone. Can you tell me a little bit about your situation, why you're looking to sell? You know, what's your story? Listen to it. Find out as you're listening to this story, you're also formulating your deal inside of your mind. Tell me about the property, what type of house is it, number of bedrooms. This is where they get really elaborate and they want to tell you everything about their house. You know, and at this point, you don't even care. You're just building rapport. But they tell you everything. What repairs does it need? Is that all? Is that all? Is that all? What else? What else? What else? Always ask that because there's always something they're not telling you. But you'll find out when you get there. What's your loan balance? Are you behind? How much are you asking? If I were to get your house appraised, how much do you think it would be worth? That's another good question. Another way to pose it. How soon would you like to close? I paid you all cash and closed quickly. What's the least amount you could accept? See, if you notice, I don't bother with this stuff up here anymore. I jump right into, hi, how you doing? When are you looking to close? How much do you think your house is worth? Tell me about your situation. Then if I think I got a deal, okay, where are you? What's your name? What's your phone number? I've got their number because they call me on my cell phone, you know, and it comes in unless it's unregistered. And if I'm going to help them out with a problem, they're going to give me the number anyways. But this is a good script just to keep you in line and keep you going. Another one is for an answering service. And now basically you just want your answering service to get pertinent information and to give you a call whenever somebody calls in and it looks like it might be a deal. You want them to be polite. And this pretty much brings them down the same script, except it doesn't ask as much information. And then at the bottom it says, I'm going to forward your information to Dave or whoever. He'll be calling you back at the start of the next half hour. Always let people know that they're going to get back to you. And make sure you get back to them as soon as possible for an appointment to get to your house. So let's do this. Turn to the person on your right. You got the four questions that you ask. One person be the buyer, one person be the seller. And then switch when you're done. Does it feel a little easier now that you've done it? Yes? Any comments? Was it good? Get those four questions down. You know, cut the malarkey. Let's get right down to business. Are we going to do a deal or not? How soon do you want to close? How much do you think your house is worth? Where'd you come up with that figure?
After you receive a phone call from somebody, before you go out and look at the property, where are you obtaining your comps? You go down to MLS before
then? Yeah, I'll go on MLS. I'll go on homevalues.com. I go on realtor.com. Be careful on realtor.com, though, because those are the listings that can't sell. And probably they don't sell because they're overpriced. Homevalues.com. He asked me where I get my comps from. Your local paper usually runs the recent sales every week, too. So check on that. Find out when they do that. Homevalues.com. Your local paper usually runs the recent sales. Your local paper.
Dave.
Cindy.
When did you feel comfortable and confident when you started to learn this?
When did I start feeling confident?
And comfortable.
No, it was, I'll tell you. Everybody knew when I had to go talk to a seller that night because I was edgy all day. Because I was so nervous about going to see that seller, you know, and that took a little while to get over. But then I got to the point where I knew what I was talking about, and I knew that I could help these people, and I knew that I wasn't going in there trying to make some sort of a shady deal, you know, that I was doing things right, doing things honestly, ethically, and that a lot of times I was these people's best choice if they were going to get anything for their property. So that's when I started to feel really confident, knowing all that. But yeah, I get really edgy. You know, really nervous talking to those sellers. And I'll tell you, the credibility kit really helped. Pop in there, open the credibility kit, and tell them why I'm there, why they should do business with me. Now, when you go there, you got to negotiate. There's keys to negotiation. Number one, do your homework. Know what's going on. Try to get an idea of what's motivating the seller. Don't get into the seller's mind, but try to get an idea of what's motivating them. And ask them, why do you want to move? Where are you going? Why are you selling? And then you can play on that. You can do benefit tie downs. You know, I'm moving out of state. Well, can you see that because I can pay cash and close quickly that you'll be able to move out of state more quickly? You can see that, can't you? Benefit tie down type of thing. So you want to find out what's motivating them and then use it. Have alternative plans, multiple offers. Your first offer should always be cash. And it should be low. It should be embarrassingly low. But you know what? A lot of people take that low offer. And then you should have two more offers. Split funded offer, 100% financing offer. Because if you do it that way, you're giving people choices, and they're more likely to choose one of those choices than just going in there with one offer. And a lot of times, instead of counter-offering your cash offer, They figure since they got three choices, then there is no counteroffering. They just got to choose one of them. You know? Justify your offer with the seller's numbers. Ask the seller what they think that the house can be sold for. Ask them what the insurance is. Ask them what the taxes are. You know, stop pulling numbers down. Ask them what they think the repairs are on the property. If they're way low, correct them. But use the seller's numbers in your favor. Have some sort of escape clause. I'm not talking about weasel clauses, because like I said, I don't like weasel clauses. You're either in the deal or you're not. You get 10 days. 10 days to figure out whether or not you want to stay in this deal. All right? But I do like to have a home inspection clause, and if I'm not sure about the property, I throw in an appraisal clause. That the property has to appraise out within a certain amount of days. And then knowing those two, I'm in. I'm either in or out. You should have your financing lined up beforehand. If you can't, if you know it's a good deal and you don't have your financing, be prepared to bring it to a club. Network with people in here. Have somebody as a backup. Sure, there's people in here with money. Who's got money in here? Raise your hand. Good. Go back there and get my courses. Oh, I'm kidding. The people with money are the people that will go into a deal. You split it with them 50-50. You're either the elephant or the mouse. The elephant has the money. The mouse does all the running around until the mouse saves their money and becomes an elephant themselves. I was a mouse. I was a broke landscaper. Now I'm an elephant. Got big, lots of cash flow. I like to tell people that 8 years ago, I was a short, bald, struggling landscaper. Now 8 years later, I'm still short and bald. But now I'm rich. And being rich makes being short and bald a whole lot easier.